So the Holy Name is there. Even more merciful than good. Holy Name is non-different to Krishna. Non-different. Except he's even more merciful than conceivable. Inconceivably, even more merciful. And the Holy Name, by the grace of Srila Prabhupada, in this ISKCON society, has spread everywhere. So everywhere is becoming a sacred place. Wherever the names are being chanted, that is a sacred place. If we are chanting the names, we're in a sacred place. Prabhupada says, become almost as good as Vaikuntha, because death will come. Everything else can be there, but death will come. We don't need to reach. That is a fact. Because until nature is not a permanent place. But still, we can get a situation which is almost as good as Vaikuntha by spreading the Holy Name. But if we're not going to give up this propensity to be the enjoyer, to want to say, yeah, I'm the person, I'm the one, this is mine, well, look what I did. As long as we can't give up that propensity, then we can't enter into that Vaikuntha. How is it possible? And when the Vaikuntha mood is not there, then there will be disagreements, continuously. But argue over small, unimportant details, rather than concentrate on chanting the Holy Name and spreading the Holy Name. Instead, we'll think that so many other things are important, and due to that offense, so many unwanted things will come. Some time ago, not very long ago, I was in the Ganga, and one person came there. And he was bathing something. I said, oh, what is that? He said, oh, it's a ring. Not Ratna. He said, I got it because it's going to protect me. I said, oh, really? So Krishna's name cannot protect you. Shelter of deity cannot protect you. The association with Vaishnavas cannot protect you, but this ring is going to protect you. But it's an offense against the Lord to seek shelter somewhere else. It's an offense against the Holy Name not to take complete shelter. To minimize the importance of the Holy Name. When we know that the Holy Name is the most merciful form of the Lord, and the Lord is the supreme protector, a supreme shelter. And what is our position as Vaishnavas when you think that some being, some piece of grass, some this or that, is going to protect us? There is no protection in material nature. But I'm going on the way. Every step there's danger. Every step. So how can something coming from that dangerous place give shelter? It's not possible. You have to learn to take complete shelter of what we've been given. The Holy Name, the deity, the Shah, the association with Vaishnavas, Tulasi Devi, Bhagavatam. If what we really want is to attain Krishna, if we want to attain that transcendental abode and become eternal servants of Krishna, if that is what we really want, then we should understand what that means. It means spending all our time in trying to assist others in satisfying the senses of Krishna. And the higher in the spiritual world we're able to attain, all the way up to Goloka, the higher the service we're able to attain, the more anxiety we're going to be. The more distress we're going to have. Because our love for Krishna will be that much more intense. So even a moment when he goes from here to there, so much distress will come over him in such separation. This is our choice. I'm aware that we live in the material world. We can be very quiet, we can go to the temple every day, offer our obeisances, and carry on with our life. This is a very pious way to live. But the fact is, until we're ready to totally engage ourselves in satisfying the senses of Krishna, then we cannot expect to be able to go to that place which is full of persons whose only desire and activity is satisfying the senses. So our practice is here, but we have to take the practice very slowly, but very seriously. We have to understand it is a mode of practice. We have to become spontaneous. Very good, I'm chanting 16 rounds every day without fail. But if I'm not listening to one syllable of the mantra, then what is the ultimate benefit? Seriously, even though it's on the estate, one could carry on chanting in that mechanical way for thousands of lifetimes. Yes, even that type of chanting chases away all sinful reactions, annihilates more sinful reactions than sins you can commit. But it doesn't give one entrance into the pure realm of the Godhead. Same as that too. What kind of service is that? Oh, inattention. Who will become satisfied with such service? We have to become, learn to become attentive of Krishna. Attentive that actually everything is for the satisfaction of Krishna. Man was addressed here in this sloka as Bhagavan, because he's on such an elevated position that he's practically useless. Everything he was doing, he was utilizing the service. Even though he had unlimited offerings, materially speaking, he had everything anyone could possibly desire. And yet he didn't think any of it belonged. And when he finished his last duty, which was getting his daughter married, he came home, laid out a piece of grass, and sat down to meditate. So yes, we have to perform our duties which are attached to this body, attached to the society which we belong to. But there shouldn't be any attachment there. It should be done just as a matter of duty. And should be let go of if it interferes with our service. Lord Chaitanya rejected the financial. rejected Western rule in awe and reverence. He only accepted pure Christian faith. A form of devotional service for nothing in return. Simply desire to satisfy us. Still, in this world, this Vaishnava Dharma must be there, activities must be there, and the Vaishnavas, not wanting to disturb society, they follow these things to a point. But their main business is to chant Hare Krishna, to engage in Krishna's service. This is our constitutional position. And if we can simply do it, instead of continuously trying to adjust it with our material situation, then success will be there. But instead we're thinking, oh, I've got to do this, I've got to do that, I've got to do that, and sacrificing devotional service. We're supposed to be the other way around. That for the performance of devotional service, we can sacrifice all mundane activities. Surrender is not real, because nothing here belongs to us. It's not a real surrender. It's a surrender of our gross attachment, our gross misidentification. Otherwise, what are we surrendering? That which is not ours. But the real surrender becomes when we're ready to surrender our desires. From wanting to be the enjoyer to wanting to be the satisfier of Krishna. And this choice is with us at every moment. At every moment. We want to be conscious, this choice is at every moment. Let me listen to the Holy Name. Let me associate with the Vaishnavas on that platform of devotional service. Let me worship the deity as a person. We don't need to be meditating all the time on what benefit there is. Oh, if you do this, you get this benefit. If you do that, you get that benefit. This is not pure devotional service. This is motivated devotional service. Of what's said as puja and seva. Puja is a business activity. Well, I'm doing this, I'm going to get this benefit. Let me follow this path, I'll get this benefit. Well, but the Buddha benefit is double Godhead. Really. By some puja we can get double Godhead. Double Godhead is a state of consciousness, a state of surrender to satisfying senses. The opportunity may come, but whether we can take it, that depends on whether we're getting the right association. And choosing our association is not always going to be tasty. It's not always going to be what we want. We need to look and actually see those Vaishnavas which are actually serving the Lord for the Lord's pleasure. Not just making a show, not just able to play the instruments fancily or chant the stokers very nicely or remember so many verses, no. But actually, always absorbed. And trying to satisfy. This is persecuted, Jesus said, John. And those persons, even though we may be very much attached to them, if they're always speaking for Joppa, always diverting us from our Joppa, they don't need that success. John, Hare Krishna, come over to the Lord. What happened to you yesterday? Oh, so important. I have to use you and to fill your chanting time because it's so important that I discuss this nonsense. We don't need such association. Oh, I don't want to be rude. I'm just humoring a person. I don't want to be rude. Yes, be rude. Otherwise, take another brother. But that rule doesn't have to be any closer. I hate the rule. Please chant Hare Krishna. Please stop talking all this nonsense. I don't want to hear all the bad qualities of this person or that. And when we're all endeavoring to do this, we'll all be good association for each other, and it'll be very easy to have the mood of right one friend. In that situation, it'll be very easy to enter into pure emotional service. Srila Prabhupada made the International Society of Krishna Consciousness. Society. A group of persons practicing Krishna Consciousness. A group of persons who could be associated with. Who would spread that association. Spread the service of Krishna. But of course, both persons are more interested in developing their health, in developing their wealth, in developing their prajapa, then how can those persons spread Krishna consciousness? The goal is not to become more and more loving devotee, more and more clever and this and that. Bhakti Shastri, Bhakti Vaya, Bhakti Vaya, Bhakti, Bhakti, Bhakti. This is the important thing to understand, the mood of bhakti. At least when I first came to India, I could meet people every day who knew the Bhagavad Gita off by heart. They had no interest in Krishna consciousness. I met one man one time who started chanting the Bhagavatam, claimed that he knew the Bhagavatam from beginning to end. 4 or 5 hours later, he was still chanting on and on and on. So I assume he did know it. But he was busy chewing his fan and taking care of his family activities and not in a Krishna conscious way. It's the mood of bhakti which must be developed. Must be understood. Thus we're taking association, we're studying the topmost chakra of the time, which is full of devotees serving Krishna. This Bhagavatam is not primarily manifest to tell us how to control our senses, how to do this, how to do that. No. But to engage in Krishna consciousness, to show the devotee serving Krishna. This is the essence of devotional service. The last sloka of the 11th chapter of Gita. Bhagavad says this sloka is the essence of Gita. Why? Because it's telling us how to serve Krishna, how to fully surrender to Him, and how to understand who is the Supreme Personality of all the personalities. Yes, there are so many branches of knowledge. Even spiritual knowledge. They must be based on God. Otherwise, simply knowing those branches of knowledge will not bring us any great gain. So, to understand Bhagavatam, to understand any Shastra, we need assistance and pleasure. And again, to be able to see with opened eyes. What are those eyes? Those eyes are the eyes of the soul, open and tinged with the sound of love. Then we can actually see that in the page of Bhagavatam, Krishna is manifested in every single page, in every single syllable. And we can give up the ahankara of thinking, yeah, I can be the knower of Bhagavatam, I can be the knower of Shravanam, Kirtanam, Smaranam, Parasevanam. No, we simply attempt to perform those activities for the satisfaction of Krishna. Every moment we have the choice. To listen to the chant of Hare Krishna or to listen to our mind. Choice is ours. And no doubt we can find so many excuses if we want to argue with people about this, that, I want this, that, that. So what? We really are not this body of mind. We really have no eternal connections. And we always have the opportunity to turn our face back. Yes.
In the course of discriminating, you know, who's a good devotee or a bad devotee, I'm saying we should only associate with the good people, and we should be rude to the ones that aren't good devotees. Is there a really good chance of making Vaishnava Bhakarata? How do we avoid making that?
To avoid by seeking out those Vaishnavas who are more advanced. We don't avoid by rejecting the other Vaishnavas. We shouldn't be rude to those and reject, but instead we should try to associate with those on the platform of devotional service. And when they veer to the Pajapa or another prince, then excuse ourselves politely. One person was just here recently, he was telling me about he knew Jayananda people very intimately. He said sometimes they will be around with him, and then the brahmacharis would start talking this or that, and subject matter would go away from Krishna conscious topics. And then they would look at Jayananda and be gone. Didn't start telling him what he got, just be gone. Yes, we can have any Vaishnava who is talking about Krishna, is chanting by Krishna, who is doing Krishna conscious, we want to associate with that person. As soon as his lower nature unfortunately takes over, then we don't want to associate. Unless we're in a position to bring them help. If we don't feel that, then we should have that association, which is beneficial for us also. But we shouldn't be looking around, otherwise we can't know better than what we're trying to avoid. We're looking around, oh, this question was not qualified at once, not qualified at once. But we should look for Christian consciousness. And when it's not, at that moment, that means no particular Vaishnava, then we seek another Vaishnava. Once one has begun this path of devotion, it will be successful. But on the way, due to offenses, from time to time, we may fall away. Maybe just for 5 minutes, and maybe 5 years, and maybe 5 lifetimes. So try to associate with the Vaishnavas when they're not falling. And especially try to find those Vaishnavas who don't fall away. Don't reject any Vaishnava service when they're fixing Krishna consciousness. Shiva said that even a Mahabhagavata can commits an offense against an immigrant. You have to avoid offenses, of course. But as long as we do not feel that we're fixed in Christian consciousness, then we also have to take care of our self-preservation. We can always be fixed in Christian consciousness. So we seek out that situation where there is devotional service going on and associate with it. Prabhupada one made the point that I can't remember word for word, but it's offensive to say, oh, Prabhu, why are you so focused? Why are you doing that? It's not offensive to ask, Prabhu, what benefit is it that you're sitting there all day speaking japa? Is that what you mean? So to ask a question correctly is not offensive. To make an accusation and disturb the mind of that Vaishnava becomes offensive. Any other questions? Srimad Bhagavatam.